Hey, this is Adrienne Charleston, the author of Butterfly Flow, and I'm kicking it with Hump Day Radio.
DJ Johnny D, Bobo, and Sam Fortune.
This is Sydney Total Liberation Green, and you are listening to Hump Day Radio. Yes.
Now listen to me now. These boys got their thing together now. Now I tell you what now, that Johnny D come in shop now. Look here, I'ma listen to anybody shop like dressed like that, like me. I'm out here getting it. Guess I gotta do that again. They say ain't understand a damn thing I say it. It's Hump Day Radio, baby. And you can tell them you got that from your Uncle Pimp.
Bodega Beats. I divine. You know my team, Y Square. New York. QC, let's go. I stop at the red octagon. Get out my car, get on the lawn. We've been in love for like 3 weeks strong. What's up, Juan, I mean, what is going on? Hey, Connie, it's you and your mommy. We stay in the hair store, buying all the yucky. We're sitting on the couch with your baby blue snuggie. We'll take those tracks out so we can do the Dougie. Hey, Alicia, Alicia, we just want a piece of you. You've been a little scary, so you calling me policia. He ain't got the keys and no, he ain't on the lease and no. He keep you inside, cause you got that little freak in you. And every time we go out to the club, you wanna shake your little stank derriere for marijuana. Please, baby girl, don't be a goner. Ask Kwana this time. But we gotta grow up
Hey, Johnny D, sitting in on Hump Day Radio.
I am, of course, your man, Sam Fortune.
And the one and only Bobo. What's good, fellas?
Man, I'm excited.
Are you?
Yes, because we have guests.
Yeah.
Good guests.
Who have no problem talking.
None whatsoever. Yeah, I've been looking forward to this show. Since he sent me the link to some of this stuff, I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
This will be a good one.
I've watched more videos of one person in the last, like, 3 or 4 days than I think I've ever watched of anybody. Because of how intriguing she is.
Well, let's introduce these ladies. We have with us the lovely ladies of Naked Girls.
Naked yes. Girls.
I like the name alone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We read.
Well, we have with us the lovely Miss Shamika Michelle.
Hello. Thank you for having us.
Oh, man. You're so welcome.
Uh-huh.
And her partner in crime. Lovely Miss Chris Clark.
Hello. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah.
Well, we're glad to have you, ladies.
Nice and colorful.
Yeah.
I know I'm amongst my people. Yeah. It's wonderful.
Talk black,
too. Yeah, most definitely had right. to. I had to say, what's up with that shirt, you know? As soon as she got out the car, I was like, yeah, I like that shirt.
Yeah, yeah. Shout out.
What's on the shirt?
Yeah.
Talk black to me.
Talk black to me.
Shout out to What's Up African. It's out of Philly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Word.
Definitely looking like he's all the dope sayings on the shirt.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. We talk black every time we turn the mics on. We talk black.
Show
to
love
him.
Black.
Absolutely. So, when we hear Naked Girls, we all know how the man's mind works. Mm-hmm. It immediately thinks, well, dang. Well, like the first time Bobo sent me a link to Naked Girls, I'm clicking on that.
Right. But covering your phone just in case.
Yeah, like,
right.
What do we got? Right. Yeah, so I click on it, and we discovered that Naked Girls is something entirely different than what the male mind roams across when he sees those two words put together.
Right. It's something different from what the male mind thinks at first, but mm-hmm. it's exactly what he needs. And
right.
so that's just women that's being authentic, being real, being open, being honest, taking accountability for mistakes that we may have made mm-hmm. in life, and just being free, telling women that they could be free to be who they really are. It's time to take off the mask and the disguise and just be us.
Right.
So that's what Naked is, just being emotionally exposed.
And this is race specific? Is it geared toward black women?
So initially when we first started, when I first started the brand, I wasn't even thinking just to black women. But as time has gone on, I've been able to see that I feel like black women need it the most. So I can't say where it'll be in the future, but right now we are focusing on our sisters because I feel like we're behind. And so, you know, we're working to get us, just get us maybe on the same playing field, or to just the things that have caused us to fall behind, you know, thinking that we aren't beautiful without weave that, you know, does not match our own natural hair that grows out of our scalp, or just the things that have really began to affect the black community. We want to focus on that first. So we have been focusing on black women, but we have women of every color that actually follow us.
So Naked Girls is an empowerment initiative.
Yes.
A movement.
It's a movement.
Yes.
In which you go around speaking at different events, or paint exactly what Naked Girls does for the listener.
So, yeah, we definitely speak. We have forums. I released a book in December. It's called Keep It Naked, A Naked Girl's Guide to Live Life Authentically. Mm-hmm. So I talk about everything in that book, from parenting and relationships to dating, religion. And so just talking about being open, and whatever we do, that is the focus. So whether it's poetry, whether it's doing a book, we do forums, we go around and speak, just pretty much putting it out there.
It's aggressive self-help.
Yeah.
Aggressive self-help.
Mm-hmm.
I think from a marketing standpoint, it is brilliant. Using the title Naked Girls, like he said, men are going to be men. The name of it alone is going to spark curiosity, because I'm like Sam. When I saw that, I'm like, hey, what's this?
Right.
You know, so from that aspect, it's brilliant. But once you start connecting the dots on what you guys are really doing, it starts to really all make click and make more sense.
Right.
When did Naked Girls begin?
November of 2013. So we started with the group. There was actually five other women beside myself that I'd had for like over 20 years that I went to them and said, this is what I want to do. They thought it was a great idea. And so the only way I knew to start was to do a blog just for us to kind of write and put it out there. And we started in November of 2013. By February, I was by myself. Because they realized they weren't ready to be naked. And so I just kept pushing, kept driving. I did a forum in January of 2015 where Chris's husband was actually, we had asked him to be on the forum because he was a community leader. Mm-hmm. And when I met him, we just instantly clicked, like, oh my God. He saw what I was trying to do. He thought it was brilliant. And he said, you have to meet my wife. And so once I met her, we realized, oh my God, you're the one that used to be dancing in the Sportsman, which was a club back in high school, doing reggae. And I loved reggae. So it was like when reggae was playing, her and I would be the only ones on the floor. And so we just instantly clicked, and she saw what I was trying to do. And
I grabbed hold to it for dear life.
Right.
Like
y'all had me at reggae.
Yeah.
But Shamika, when did you start doing the actual videos?
So the videos, I did some videos when we first started back in 2013, but I was never consistent with it. So I might would do a video maybe once a week at that time, because a lot of times I was commentating on Real Housewives of Atlanta. And then every now and then I may put 7 things you don't want to see from men or something like that. And I did a video, but I wasn't consistent. I started consistently doing videos about a year ago, maybe a year and a couple months. Mm-hmm.
Out of those videos, do you know which one got, I guess, the greatest reaction?
I would say my response to Trick Daddy got a really big reaction. And then I'm not sure. It's a couple of them that maybe, you know, got 1 million or so views. But I don't keep up with it as much because then I feel like it'll change what I do. If I'm just, which I guess that's smart in a way because you want to see what your people are looking at, what they like the most or what they want to see from you the most. But I really want to stay genuine. And so I just get up there and I talk about whatever I feel like I want to talk about. And then it gets whatever it gets, you know, the interest that it gains from it, because I'm just doing it from a genuine place, not really trying to say, hey, they want me to talk about this. I talk about whatever I want to talk about.
Right. What is your background as far as before Naked Girls began? You must have had something that's been cooking that.
Right. Several things. I feel like I've done a lot in life. I was a stripper in college, and in my adult years, I was an ordained minister. So I actually preached for.
Right. Yeah. That's a 360.
So, yeah, for about 10 years, actually, I was in the ministry. And then I just began to.
And she was mean with it.
Just began to see something in church that I didn't like. And I couldn't put my finger on it, but I just didn't feel right anymore. I knew I wanted to help people. I knew I wanted to reach people. But I felt like at least the churches I had been in were just so fake. There was this pressure to be perfect. And I realized that people weren't getting the help that they really needed because they felt like they had to be perfect. So it was like, you know, if you're broken down on a certain street and the pressure, you can't really say where you are, then who's going to come and help you? And so that's what I felt like the church was doing. Regardless of what was going on in your life, there was this pressure to still come in and preach, still come in and teach and dance and sing and just do the same thing Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday for Bible study. And I hated that. And I hated the whole just, you know, having to have an armor bearer and somebody to carry your bags and all of this. It just started to be a big circus to me and a big show, and I couldn't figure out exactly what it was. So then I was thinking, oh, it's just the black church. So I left the black church and I started going to a predominantly white church. And then I realized it still wasn't doing it for me. Like, what is going on? So I guess I was on kind of like a spiritual journey, trying to figure out what was happening, going through a divorce. And so I just really, after my divorce, I felt like I lost it all, leaving a $300,000 house with two Mercedes in the driveway and just walking away from that. I felt like I had lost it all. So that's how Naked Girls came to be, because I said, well, I've already lost it all. I have nothing else to lose. Yeah, I can just go up from here. So I just started to tell my truth, and it just started from there.
That is compelling.
That is very compelling.
Wow.
Yeah.
Danced. You danced. Were you in college? You were in college,
you said? I was. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so that was, I actually started dancing in 93. And I feel like at that time it wasn't popular. So it wasn't like the thing to do that you talked about and kind of bragged on like it is now. So it was kind of a secret. I did actually. And it's crazy because I graduated high school at 17. So when I went to college, I was 17. And I just always said, when I turn 18, I'm going to be a stripper. Don't know where that came from. I guess I just like this whole feeling of mesmerizing me, and I guess. And so I did a private party for a group of guys because I wasn't 18 yet. And when I turned 18, I went and got a job in a club. It was a club called, I don't know if I should say that, but so I went and got a club, and it was a predominantly white club where, you know, the men would come as soon as they got off work. So I worked early so that my friends wouldn't really know what I was doing. My roommate did, and like one other person, but it was something I kept quiet.
I knew somebody in college did that.
Yeah. So you came out of dancing. How long how far removed from dancing did you go into the ministry? Did you go straight from one to the next?
No, I didn't. I stopped dancing, and I didn't get into ministry until probably maybe 6 years after that. So I was just kind of, I ended up getting pregnant. This is actually my daughter. So I had her, and just being a single mom, I ended up getting with someone. We got married. And actually, right before we got married, he wanted me to go to a certain church. And when I went to that church, it was just like, oh my God, it was, you know, a storefront church. And I wasn't used to that because I had grown up in a traditional CME church. So I went to this church and they're running around and they're shouting and they're dancing and speaking in tongues. And I'm like, this must be it. Like, this is what I want to do. And so he wanted to start going to that church because he felt like my church was dry. So I'm like, yeah, I'm with it. Let's go over here. And I mean, I got in there and immediately it was, you need to sleep in another room because I'm not going to be fornicating and going to hell. Like everything just kind of changed.
You went that extreme.
Yes. Stop talking to friends. I stopped drinking, stopped smoking, stopped hanging out, stopped doing everything. Stopped listening to regular music. Dresses started going down. They were, you know, to my ankles. Church hat, did the whole just, I was the church
She's
lady.
The church lady.
Yeah.
White hat.
It was
and all.
Probably hard to deal with for anybody who spoke against
exactly
the church.
Right.
If at war, you're going to war with
yes.
you.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The Bible says, yes. verse number.
Right, that was me. So I was, like I said, I was in church really deep in the ministry. Probably a year after I got in church, I preached my initial sermon. And so I was licensed then and then subsequently ordained a couple years after that. And then that was all. That was my whole life. Church was my whole life and having children and a family. And then, like I said, it began to just not be what I hoped. Like, I just wasn't reaching people like I wanted to.
I can see it, though. You definitely have the ability to talk and articulate what it is that you want to convey. And I like it. I like it a lot.
Thank you.
Where do you see, or what do you want to be doing with Naked Girls in the future as far as how big? Is this something women can, like, they can join it like a membership?
Right, different branches around the country or
right.
something?
Right, okay. Yes.
And once they do, what do they begin to mimic what it is you do? You they meet with you and you find, yo, she has a nice mouthpiece. She can represent the company.
Right.
She can go out. She can talk over here. So we can have different events going on
exactly.
in different places.
Exactly. It's definitely the vision is a global movement.
Mm-hmm.
We have started chapters in Texas and we have Michigan. So what is taking place right now is we're in the process of appointing brand ambassadors that we know are definitely just like we are, that'll be able to push it in the state that they're in. We have people waiting, like we're ready to join. And so we're still in the organizing phase of being able to have those members that can become a part. And the best way for me to kind of describe it is like, I don't know, the sororities, like AKA or Delta, you know, you have to have gone to college and have certain requirements to be able to be one. Well, we're going to have certain requirements to be able to be a Naked Girls, but it's definitely going to be a global movement. We want it to be thousands of women that, you know, operate the same way, that think the same way, that's willing to take accountability and to just say, I'm tired of lying, and put down the mask and just be who they really are.
Money, where does the money come from? Is this a nonprofit or is it
it's
members pay fees?
Members will pay fees. So the way it's going to work is a yearly membership.
Mm-hmm.
We're working on a website right now where each member will have their own profile so that you can actually network with each other. We'll have seminars, we'll have forums, because we do forums now, but it's just mainly in our city. So we're working on a big, large conference where we can bring all the chapters together. We do a domestic violence brunch every October. Mm-hmm. And so now this year we'll have a domestic violence brunch for women that have been abused, that survived in Durham, Dallas, Texas, and in Grand Rapids, Michigan this year, that'll all take place at the same time. So it's our vision that we have several of these once everything gets up and running.
I like it. I like the mission that you guys are on, because getting someone to be naked is the most terrifying thing in the world. Most people have never truly been naked.
Right.
And mm-hmm. they have never let anyone in, and they hold all this stuff, men and women, mm-hmm. that are walking around with this, and they don't know how, whether it's from husband, wife, brother and sister, whatever it is, siblings. I think it's a really good movement that you guys are doing.
Thank you.
When we say most people have not been naked, this is not just makeup and weave and everything else. Right. It's their mentality. I've heard you say. Mm-hmm. Now, are we supposed to reveal everything that we're thinking?
No, I don't think we have to reveal everything that we're thinking. I just think we need to stop lying, because that, to me, keeps us from really connecting with each other. You know, if you see that, let's just say I'm having a hard time and I'm going through something in my life. Well, if you are putting off to me that everything is perfect and you wouldn't understand, it's going to kind of put that wall up and make me a little apprehensive about coming to you to say, hey, this is where I need help. But if you are the type of person where you're not putting on certain airs and pretending like everything is perfect, I may be more comfortable in talking to you. And that's what I've kind of seen as I started Naked Girls. The more open I am, I'm drawing people that are more comfortable in talking to me. Whereas when I was behind the pulpit in my church suit and my church hat, people felt this need that they had to pretend and be a certain way around me. Now, I mean, my goodness, sometimes I'm like, whoa, you know, I don't know if I needed to know all of that, but people are comfortable because they see that, you know, I may get up there in my robe, you know, my house coat, and I talk, or my onesie, or I may, you know, not be all put together all the time. And so people are just really reaching out, just being honest. If they're in a domestic violence relationship, or if they feel like they're doing terrible at parenting, they are more willing to say, hey, I need help. I can't stand my son, or I can't stand, you know what I mean? Like, they're honest. Whereas when I was in church, people weren't doing that. And I think it was just because there, like I said, there was this pressure when you're in the Christian church a lot of times to just be perfect. Because if Jesus don't fix it, then it's like, what's wrong with me? I'm not saved enough. I'm not spiritual enough because Jesus hasn't fixed this problem. But, you know, they don't have that with Naked Girls.
How does that work out with men?
I feel like men are the same way. Honestly,
no, I'm talking about with you and men.
Like with me and men.
Yes. What kind of man
mm-hmm.
can deal with a woman that is dead set on just straight up honesty like that?
Right. I think it takes a special kind of man, but it's funny because I've always been told that, like, my daughter's father, from the time I was like 20, 21 years old, he would always say, it's going to take a special man to deal with you. And now I am just kind of realized, like, what does he mean? Am I mean? Do I talk too much? And I think I always have been kind of open and honest, but I think it's still the same way because, I don't know, my boyfriend doesn't seem to have a problem with it. You know, he's not the kind of person that's like, you can't talk to that person. He walked into this. I think he knew what he was walking into, and he knows that I am not changing, that I just have this passion to really see people be free, and I'm not going to let anything stop that. And while I love him, I don't have to have him. So I think he understands that he's replaceable. I mean, and that's just the truth of the matter. Like, he's like, what?
Lord. She just pulled a sword out?
I mean, you know, so it's like, I want to be with him. And I think he knows that. And that's what he has to kind of rest upon. That has to be his safe space, that this woman wants to be with me. So regardless of what happens, how naked I am, how open and honest I am, he has to rest in that space that she wants me.
Since y'all have started traveling and doing things now, is there anything that is kind of common that keeps women from being, quote unquote, naked?
That is
the opinion of people. I think people are so afraid of what somebody else is going to think about them. And that's what I ran into when I first started it. Like I said, the women that came on board with me, one of them was really honest. She said, you know, I thought I was ready to be naked, but I'm not. I still care what people think about me. And so that to me took, that was a big deal just to be that honest, you
right.
know, that you still care what people think.
Wow. That's something. And you hit on something that I was listening to and over here like, wow, when you talked about the man issue and, you know, he has to be accepted, he can be replaced, which anybody can.
Mm-hmm.
But as men, we like to feel that we're needed and wanted.
So he's wanted, you know, and that's what I'm saying. That has to be his safe space to know that I want him.
But she said he's not needed.
Yeah, I don't need him. Like, I'm going to be who I am regardless. Like, I don't think he needs me, you know, but I want him. And I have to be comfortable and secure in the fact that he wants me. And so I think that I think sometimes we get into this whole little, I don't know, game or a bunch of foolishness like, I need you to need me. Well, I don't need you. That's the truth. I'm going to be able to pay my bills without you. I'm going to get up. I'm going to be able to wash my behind and brush my teeth, whether you're here or not. What you have to know, though, is that I want to do this with you. And so you have to be, you know, comfortable in that and rest in that space.
Now, I want to know, how can someone find out or get in contact with you or find out more about Naked Girls? Where would they go?
Right now the website is nakedgirlsblog.com, and that's girls with a Z. We're on Facebook, Naked Girls, and we're on Instagram and Twitter at The Naked Girls.
The Naked Girls.
Yeah, there's so much that I could say.
We're going to have them back. We're going to have them back and, you know, find out a little more about these ladies.
We didn't find out exactly what Chris Clark's role.
That's fine. Yes, yes.
No, but I want to know.
Oh.
Tell us. Yeah. Let's hear it.
Well, again, I'm Chris Clark. I'm a blogger, best friend, sister, everything that Shamika needs me to be. When I came upon Naked Girls, I said, this sister is speaking what I feel. I'm a cosmetologist of 20 years, so in my way, I've done ministry with my clients every day. I believe in building beauty from the inside out. So when she had this platform here, I'm like, yes, this is what we need, because women don't like to be held accountable. I love the aggressive self-help approach. And I looked at it and I said, wow, this is feminism number 5. When you desire a man, but you don't need his ass to breathe. Now, that seems like that's a hard thing. But the problem with women is because we walk around, eat, breathe. Like, all we want is to be better for a man and not better for ourselves. And when you look at life like that and do the best for you, all the other great things come afterwards. You know, and so what she's saying is something that we desire for every woman to feel. So that we not on the wrong journey in life.
What do you say to the women who come from the school of thought that women do need men?
How's that working for you?
That's what you say to them?
I mean, like, a lot of times they're coming because they're in a broken relationship or, you know, they're whining about somebody tricking them. When most of the time, a man hasn't tricked them. They've just been blind and seen what they wanted to see. And so then once they end up in a certain space, they want to point the finger at the man. And we're like, no, you need to point the finger at yourself, because you have to take accountability. And mm-hmm. you saw these red flags, or
right.
you saw, you know, he... I personally believe that a man lets you know exactly who he is up front. And if you choose not to see it, then that's your choice and that's responsibility that you have to take. So, you know, when they come to us whining, it's, I'm kind of like, you know, well, what role did you play? Point the finger at yourself.
And so she gave me a platform to be a part of, you know, and something to offer to my clients. And as I'm shifting, coming out of hair, because I'm in the beauty industry and I don't love it. And I've always loved it. But I don't believe that you make money off of people's insecurities. That's not what I did it for. I've always had integrity about what I've done. I've never done a relaxing color at the same time. I think 30-inch weave on your edges. The gravity pull is ridiculous. And I'm known for sewings. That's like my thing. But when you couldn't tell that it was a sewing, you know? And so I said, people are cheating themselves because they're able to buy the things that mask, that looks like to the world that I am secure. And I'm like, we are not secure. I wasn't secure, you know, even in the certain, like I'm a person that likes to be honest to myself. Mm-hmm. But as I listened to Shamika speak, I was like, oh my goodness, I'm not there. I'm not there. I don't mind exposing my truth, but I was not where I thought I was on the journey. And I said, if a person like me that wants to be transparent is not, then I know we're gone, right? Mm-hmm. But I also believe in what we have to offer, being so strong that we willing to like go out there and fight for the truth and to show them like you can expose yourself and still feel good about them, still feel good about yourself.
But it's hard. And I would think it would be a little difficult because media and everything around you tells you this is what the epitome of beauty is supposed to be. And young girls are seeing this and they're trying to live up to this. And those young girls become teenage girls and teenage girls become young adults and so on and so forth. Now you have 30, 40 year old women who have lived up to this fictitious thing of what they say is beauty, and they lost that the beauty is really inside.
In this country.
Because not just in this country. It's worldwide.
It's global. I mean, it's global, but truthfully, we have let white people tell us what beauty is.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
And a lot of cats walk around and don't even realize it.
So that's why we're trying to give people good content. She does the videos. We do the blogs.
Okay.
We're doing an album. And we have...
An album?
Yes. It'll be done in... It's
about,
who doing time. What on the album? What do you do on the album?
We're singing and she's rapping.
Oh wow!
I sing he's and a, rap. Yeah,
Sam's an artist. He's a hip hop artist.
Oh, we'll
a hell of a hip hop artist.
Yeah,
he ain't ready.
I ain't ready. She's
are we gonna be able to get some bars then? We gonna be able to get some bars?
You know, I do write my stuff down. You know, I'm just not the come off the top of the head type person. But
yeah, that's fine.
It definitely lets you hear something.
Where is your blog? Where can people find your blog,
Well,
Chris?
I blog for Shamika.
Okay, so it's on the Naked Girls
blog.
Yes, I do. Okay. Every so often, I'm not a person that was big doing videos because I don't just do videos just to be talking. You know what I'm saying? I can think of things to talk about, but like if it doesn't move me, I don't do them. I'm a student at North Carolina Central University. And so to me, my role is bridging the gap between the youth and, you know, and the old. So when I'm on campus, they don't know how old I am, you know, but I'm the person in class raising my hand, bust out crying like, y'all don't understand what they doing to us in education. I'm talking to my teachers like, don't give up. The vibration is off in here. You can't teach them in love if you don't have it. I know you tired. Like, I want to be a professor. You know, so I'm trying. And I didn't like school. So let's just be clear. And so I'm trying to bring Naked Girls onto the campus because I see where the young women are off. And basically we're saying, we get it. You know what I'm saying? We 42 years old. We get it. Some people not ready to become naked. Some people ain't got no edges and the top of their hair is out.
Right.
And so they cannot take it off. We saying, give us your money and your children. We're going to make it so that the young girls have something to look up to. We're going to give you content. We're going to change the way the media see black women. We just are, and we're going to give you something. We're going to keep hitting you to where you turn around, and that's all you see.
Oh, love it. Absolutely love it. Yeah, right. That's
a wrap.
Yeah. It don't get no better than that. Hey, it's Hump Day Radio.
Farewell, my love.
Frankie and Johnny were sweethearts, y'all. At least that's the way the story goes, y'all. Now Frankie bought everything for Johnny.
This is Johnny D.
I'm Sam Fortune.
And the one and only Bobo. Keep up with us at WordPress, Hump Day Radio, Facebook,
Hump Day Radio,
YouTube, Hump Day Radio, or just Google,
Hump Day Radio.
I mean, really, it's that simple.
Said you know I wouldn't tell you no lie, girl. But I saw your man riding in that Cadillac with the chick named Nelly Bly.
Oh, he was a man, all right.
Let me tell you, he was doing you wrong. Lord, let me tell the story.